Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Love my teammates. Dennis Schroeder is a dog. He's a dog. I go down, play against anybody with him any day. And our team, man, you know, when it gets to clutch time, fourth quarter, some people built for it. Some people shy away from it. You know, you saw Dame, all that stuff. Like, some people built for it, man, and we're just going to keep hooping.
Ooh, that's a direct shot by Chris Paul.
15 and a fourth in the win yesterday. And
some people are built for it, and some people shy away. I don't want to say, and we can't put this loss on James, and yet we see superstars, and he just talked about Dame. We saw Chris Paul. We saw Jimmy Butler last night. We see.
It looks a certain way, doesn't it?
It does. It looks a certain way, and it hasn't looked that way ever here.
But it's not hard to see. Like, you can see it. It's tangible. Mm-hmm. You can see the attitude. You can see the eyes. You can see the demeanor. The demeanor looks a certain way on the field, at the plate, on the mound, and on the court. There's a certain demeanor the guys who have. So, by the way, Chris Paul, throughout the ultimate compliment in sports, is when you say a guy's a dog or he has dog in him, I can't tell you how often I hear that used and how often I use the term. Just to convey, if I'm talking to somebody else about a player who's in the business at all, to say he's got a lot of dog in him, or you just wish he had a little bit more dog. That's all you say. And that conveys right away. And I wish James had a little more dog. He's talented, but the dog is what Chris Paul has. See, Chris has dog mentality. He just is physically not as gifted as James.
You know, it's so funny. After James threw the ball off Gallinari when Russ threw up the air ball, And he threw it off of him. James turned around and he gives a look like one of these looks like what are you doing kind of thing, and a lot of times he's coming off the court during a timeout and he's given and nobody's listening to him and he's going I think guys just look at him and go whatever James, and then if you turn on the tape those last three possessions. He's standing there when Schroeder runs by Russ in the lane, and James just stands there and didn't even do one of his patented Olays, you know, where he just swipes at the ball. He didn't even do one of those. He just stood there and looked at him. And then on two possessions, with a minute 35 and a minute 23 left, James is just standing out by the three-point line, not doing.
And that's on offense. I saw Russ get lost. He just didn't realize. I think it was Gallinari made a three. He's just standing there and didn't pay attention on his rotation, and you could see him go, oh, and ran over, and somebody splashed a three in his face. I expect that defensively from Russ. James, I mean, we saw it in that weird San Antonio game where it looked like he was throwing the game. Like, I don't have any idea.
Mm-mm.
That last play you're talking about was the entire San Antonio game. I will never ever be able to get over that game because it just was so unbelievably
the end of game
unusual.
Five, that was game six. The end of game five was not much different.
No, but he had a great game until they got to overtime.
Then he just did nothing.
And it looked like he got gassed. And if you notice, you know when James is in his bag is when he's going into the lane. Yeah. And he had moments like this yesterday.
Oh, plenty of moments.
When he's going at the rim and he's finishing at
beautiful
the cup.
Beautiful layups.
Beautiful. He's a phenomenal finisher. Yeah. One of the best finishers I've ever seen. Right and left-handed.
But So I don't, you know, but that is so, that quote by Chris Paul, you know, some guys got it and some guys don't. Some guys, that's a dog. And listen, I think they're going to win the series. They're going to beat them in game seven tomorrow. And then they're going to move on and everything's going to be just fine. But they're just not. There's no championship DNA here. None. There's no championship. Russ running around, throwing the ball. What the bleep kind of play is that? And James didn't help with him dribble. Remember in the dribble where it was stolen with minute 23 left, Russ got it stolen. He was dribbling around, and I think he dribbled it off his foot, and they picked it up, and they were going the other way. But he got absolutely no help. But you want to talk about a team that is clueless down the stretch to have winning plays and that dog mentality of we're going to do this and win this game and do everything that it takes. There's none of that.
You know, I was watching going into a timeout, stoppage of play at least. It was 98-92 that Rockets had taken a 6-point lead. I think they had either just gotten stopped or had to call a timeout. And I saw PJ Tucker imploring the team as they're getting to the huddle, like, come on. I think I couldn't read lips, but it felt like he was saying, let's finish these guys off. Let's get it done now. I was like, do you know what team you're on, PJ? Mm-hmm. It's in my head. I was like, are you aware of who that doesn't exist? Not when things are tight. If the Rockets on that possession would hit a three and gone up nine, maybe they finish it off. But when it comes down to it, I don't know how you trust them. I can't find a path to trusting this team in close games. I was thinking while you were talking, because people are fans, they're going to defend their guys sometimes to the ends of the earth. What will it take, do you think? I mean, we live in our bubble where we think these things about certain players. What could it take for some people to be like, you know what? James ain't the guy.
We're at a place where...
We're in hardened purgatory.
You won't know this, Dell. This is, and maybe you won't have as good a feel for this because you are new into the city. Maybe you will. Yeah, you will. But this is a feeling that some people had about Warren Moon when Moon was here, because Moon had great stats. I always felt Warren was more a victim of certain circumstances. I didn't have that same feeling that Warren would shy away from the moment. Just far too often, I think, and to be fair, Eric Gordon's shooting is sinking this team. So before we go any further with Russ doing crazy Russ stuff with seven turnovers, James looking like he's shying for the moment, if Eric Gordon was shooting better than 17% from three, we're on to the next round, and it's a completely different conversation here. But the fact is, we have to talk about what happens in close and late games. Because you're defined by athletes. You know, Kirk Gibson was defined by a home run when he was hurt. In a World Series, you're always defined by what you do in clutch situations. You're always defined by that. And you're defined by what you do in the postseason. And to that end, Chris Paul has unfinished business in the postseason. James Harden has unfinished business. But Chris Paul doesn't have the same... Now, Chris Paul was part of a gag job that opened the door for the Rockets to win Game 6 at the Clippers and then go on to beat the Clippers in the series. Chris was a big part of that gag job. He missed... There's no way around that. But at the same time, it's also true that an average as can be Oklahoma City team has the best closing unit in all of pro basketball, and it's because they play a certain way together. When it's close and late, they're a very dangerous team. They're tough to beat. We've seen it firsthand with the Rockets.
In large part because of Chris Paul. And it's in large part because of preparation. Did you see the they did a clip?
They're well.
I don't know which broadcast you were watching, but they did a clip of Chris Paul coaching on the sideline, talking to guys on the floor, talking.
Schroeder.
Now this is what got James, I think, tired of him.
Yeah,
is that Chris Paul takes over a
Chris
real
wants to be
leadership.
Your mentor.
That's right.
He wants you to be great and elevate your game. There's no chance that James like that.
What are the odds?
Oh, thanks for telling me what to do, Chris
Paul. What are the odds that Chris Paul becomes a head coach in the NBA?
Ooh, I think he might ride guys into the ground.
Yeah, I think he might be.
I think it's 100%.
I think he might be his son's AAU coach.
No, he's an NBA head coach. Jason Kidd. I mean, you look at the guys. I mean, Chris Paul has got head coach DNA.
But Dell's right though. I mean, the point guards: Teron Liu, Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson kind of got in some people's nerves.
But Scotty Brooks,
yeah. Billy Donovan was not an NBA guard, but he was a small shooting guard on a heavy three-point shooting team. But yeah, no, there's no question he has head coach.
I didn't say how good he'd be, that he will be a head coach.
He has head coach in the 90s written all over him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dell's probably right. He's got to have a certain type of team. How different would he be than Jeff Van Gundy, other than maybe a little less surly? He'd be just as demanding. And I don't think it's for everybody. I don't know that Jeff Van Gundy's style would work for everybody.
Oh, look at Pop, man.
Yeah, but Pop is, that's no, true, but Pop had a certain.
Pop is demanding.
But Pop had the same dudes forever.
Pop had the perfect star. Tim Duncan was willing to take Pop stuff. And if
so was Tony, and so was
everybody who wins had the perfect star.
But what?
Everybody who wins has the perfect star.
No, but I'm talking about demeanor. Tim Duncan had a demeanor where Pop could say that and Tim would take it, and then everyone else.
His core stayed the same forever.
If Tim Duncan's taking it, there's no way you can
take it. You
know
who he didn't get along with? Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi had enough of him, or that entire organization.
Kawhi Leonard or Uncle Dennis was tired of it, so they ended up leaving. But those same core, though, you had the same core of, really you could say is an extended core, but your big three were Manu, Tony Parker, and Tim Duncan forever, for a long, long time. So, like, it's easy when you have the same guys for over a decade, and they're used to it, and that's the standard. I don't know that Pop would work on every team. I don't know that Van Gundy would work on every team. I don't know that he works on any team now.
No.
And I love Jeff. I think Jeff Van Gundy would be a really great coach, but I just don't know that today's superstars. Nah, take that back. Jeff Van Gundy would work fine with Chris Paul. He would love Chris Paul. I don't think James Harden would like Jeff Van Gundy.
No. But
Tracy McGrady
I didn't say
McGrady
what kind of good coach he's going to be. He's going to be an NBA head coach.
Does he want to do that?
I'm sure that's all he's doing it now.
Well, I mean, there
he
been,
can actually transition from player
that's a lifestyle,
to coach.
Though. That's a lifestyle. So he eats, on sleeps, the road.
Up. He eats, sleeps. You tell. That's all he does is watch.
He does, but he also has kids. Like, he wants to see his kids grow up too.
Yeah, but
he goes to all his baseball
everybody
games.
Everybody does that. And look at all the guys in the NBA. I'm telling you, dude's going to be a head coach. All I want to listen. I know how you can bet on Chris Paul or James Harden tomorrow night, and it's called mybookie.ag. My bookie has odds on all the sports: MLB, NBA, soccer, UFC, golf, NASCAR, football. Right now, the lines are out. You want the Texans +10? Let's go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Don't forget, they will double your first deposit. Just enter promo code radio. They've got everything. They got the lines on games, props, inside games, live in-game betting, future bets, even odds. Listen, do you want to bet on the election? Who's going to win? Trump has become the favorite now. That's unbelievable. He has flipped this thing. Well, you can bet. If you like Biden, go the other way. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. There's the most important thing. You bet, you win, they pay. You bet, you win, they pay. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, I want to shout out a longtime listener. We see him at the listener event every year when there's not a pandemic. And he sent a note to me yesterday, and I got his permission to read this. And he said, it's Mark Foster. You guys would recognize his avatar.
Well, we got a message from him, too.
Yeah.
Oh, this one?
It's email. It's the same one, yeah.
Yeah.
I emailed that to everybody. I just want to make sure you guys all saw it.
Oh, yeah.
And this is to Raheel, too.
Oh.
Not forget our guy, Raheel.
Oh, you sent this. I thought this was a message. Okay, got it.
No, it's me, yeah. He said, he just sent a direct message, and he just said, just want to share a bit of good news with you, John and Dell. I know you guys are not family, but for some reason, I feel like you guys are near and dear to me. I've been on dialysis since 2014. I've been unable to maintain a full-time job, but thanks to God, I've survived some really tough days. I've been working on getting a kidney transplant. The workup for the transplant has been tough. Just to share a detail, when you guys talk about the COVID test, that's nothing. That's nothing in terms of this process. Ready for this? It took me about 3 years to get through the urologist. He has to stick a camera, a small camera, inside your junk to make sure you can pee once a kidney's installed. I don't know about this. He said they found constricting in my urinary canal, and I had to have surgery to widen the canal. And I had to wear a catheter for 2 weeks. This guy's the toughest person alive. Give me the brain-jamming COVID test any day over that. That is just part of this journey. After getting through that phase of the transplant, coordinator said I need to lose weight. Well, at the time, 18 months ago, I weighed close to 270. I needed to get down to 230 for surgery. I got depressed and gained more weight in December. I weighed 286, decided to have weight loss surgery. I didn't think I could afford it or it was eligible. I had weight loss surgery in February, and he's down to 230. I immediately called Methodist and left a message for the transplant coordinator. He called back and told me I would be listed on their transplant list as of today. It's not getting a transplant, but few people can comprehend this type of joy. Even with all that going on in 2020, that was the best news I gladly share with you guys. You all give me peace of mind during dialysis and the entertainment I need on my treatment days. Oh, by the way, because I've been on dialysis since 2014, I get credit for basically time served. So I go on the waiting list with nearly 6 years of time. Thanks, you guys, for being the consistent force of positive energy. Did he say Dell was positive energy? Hashtag RIP Raheel. Sorry for the long message. So shout out to Mark.
Mark tweets the show every once in a while. Yeah, absolutely.
So really, really great news for one of our listeners. Love hearing that. Love to be part of that daily routine for you. And love that you are on the list now and 6 years accrued. So he'll get a move way up that list for the kidney. So very happy to hear that for you, Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
That's awesome.
Best of luck, Ben. Best of luck. Hate that. Man, sticking that thing. I once had to get that hose thing up there. Oh, my God. That was the most painful.
There's some hose in this house. There's some hoes in this house.
Not that kind of hose.
Oh, not as different.
Those would have been fine, actually.
You know what? Oh, boy. Look, we just had a heartwarming, heartfelt message, and in a matter of seconds, it turned into...
But catheter is the worst thing you can do.
No, catheter is the worst thing ever.
It's the worst thing you can do to somebody.
So, get this. My book, you're going to sponsor a tailgate bubble for Bills fans so Bills Mafia can carry on while safe from COVID. A tailgate bubble.
Explain this.
Okay. So.
You have details?
So, fans block from attending around the country. People are still looking to gather for tailgates. Bill fans knows for and are among the good news for them. They'll get their chance to tailgate. We're told one option is a tailgating bubble sponsored by MyBookie, which claims it will create a completely sanitized, clean zone for Bills fans in the Buffalo area where they can rage before games while adhering to COVID safety measures. Fans must register to get inside the area. Trying to limit the number of people, but once inside, they'll enjoy food, booze, and the sanitizer they can squirt. They're going to bring in, obviously, they need the table jumps. They got to jump on the table. The details are still being worked out. But wait a minute. Don't you have to test before you go into the bubble? And what if you go in with the
Once again, when is the saliva? There's a new saliva test also out from Fluidigm, the Washington.
Where are they?
Company. That's what I want to know. I'm Googling the name of all these things.
Where are they? Saliva Direct. You know what? You got a lot of pub. Where's the damn test? Let's go.
Get your spit test done and let's go.
Wow. Odds to get the number one overall pick. Who do you think?
I already know who it is.
Who the favorite?
It's Washington.
No, it's not. It's not Washington. They're not the favorites to get the number one overall pick. The Jags are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The hell am I thinking? I think Gardner's going to mess around and screw some of that stuff up. I think he's actually a little better than – I think he may end up being a little better than we think. I know he had his bad moments for sure. He was a rookie last year. People forget that. He performed better as a rookie than Josh Allen did.
So the Jags are number one.
They have nothing over
the Jags are number one at 3-1. Yeah, but they what talent? What are they? Who's he? DJ Chark? I mean, that's it. What do they got? They got. I mean, you want to talk about? They are tanking for Trevor. This team is tanking for Trevor.
Not the dumbest move. What's the worst case scenario? You come up with Fields.
Yeah.
You tank for Trevor. You end up with Fields. Not the worst thing in the world.
Washington 11-2. Panthers 8-1. Bengals 9-1. Bengals named Joe Burrow. And I heard, you know, Keyshawn, Dan Graziano was on with Keyshawn and Jay Will and the guys this morning. And Keyshawn goes, is this the right move? What are the Bengals doing naming? Are they putting him in a position, no offseason and all this stuff? And Graziano's like, what other option do they have? They don't have any other option than
they
Joe
got
Burrow.
Rid of Dalton.
Yeah, Andy Dalton's gone.
Well, I mean, Keyshawn.
Keyshawn, come
this
on,
this is going to be a struggle listening to Keyshawn
come on, Key,
early
pick
on.
Pick it up. Pick it up, Key. The Giants 11-1. I think the Giants should be a better
Like the first pick of the draft sitting on the bench behind Andy Dalton. That's a good that's the way you approach things.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, Key.
Well, in this
of course, have you been drafted first? Have you ever been drafted first in the draft, John?
Keyshawn certainly has.
Keyshawn has. Have you ever been drafted first?
Keyshawn should have sat that first year. Keyshawn.
Great Jeff Van Gundy story. He's told before. I don't know that he's told it on the air, but he's told me this story. So you know he's real tight with Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
Van Gundy is. And so Van Gundy, they're in New York at the same time, he and Parcells.
I've heard this story, yeah.
Keyshawn is there. He goes, he's at the camp for the Giants. No, for Jets. And Keyshawn's a rookie. Either rookie or second year player. I think he's a second year player. And Van Gundy's there at camp watching. And he goes, hey, Keyshawn, come here. He goes, Jeff, this is Jeff Van Gundy's coach of the Knicks. I know who he is. That's Keyshawn Johnson. Jeff, let me ask you a question. Do you like great restaurants? Do you love food? He goes, yeah, man, I love going to good restaurants, food. This is the guy for you. Keyshawn Johnson knows everything there is to know about the restaurant scene. He's the best, knows everything. Do you love good clothes? No, obviously, I'm not a clothes guy. Well, listen, don't let that bother you. Because if you want to get good at clothes, that's your guy. Keyshawn, tell him. You've got your own tailor, right? And Keyshawn goes on. I mean, he totally sets him up. Oh, yeah. Goes on and on. I got a guy. And Parcells just lets him sit and tell Van Gundy about like two or three tailors. Like Jeff Van Gundy. Like, I care about any of this clothes stuff he's talking about. He goes, let me ask you a question now, Jeff. Do you like to win? Yeah, that's all I think about. Don't ask him a thing about that because he knows nothing about winning or how to win. All right, go back and line, Keyshawn. Like, shoot him off.
When was this? Like, his rookie year?
It was right around that same time, yeah.
Well, that's a great way to
either rookie year or second year. It was early on.
I mean, did Keyshawn and Bill have problems? Because I imagine they might.
No, Keyshawn, they're ball breakers.
Okay.
Bill, well, he breaks balls, but he means it too.
Yeah, he does.
I feel like he means it. He probably just heard Keyshawn keep talking about clothes and food, and so he probably said, okay.
Hey, Dell, the Dolphins are 12-1 to get the number one overall pick.
That's a dumb bet.
12-1.
It's dumb.
Are you going to tank for Trevor this year now?
They're not tanking, no. That's a dumb bet.
How's your guy Tua looking?
Would you rather have Trevor or Tua?
I don't know. Tua hasn't played a game.
I know, but which one would you rather have?
I'll take the guy who's on my roster
over
right now.
Under Tua start.
Look at the loyalty there.
Five and a half games before Tua is a starter. Over under.
I don't know. It depends on that schedule. I haven't really looked at the schedule. If it's a poor start, you can see him really quickly. I would say he starts under.
Okay, so if I said, will Tua play more than eight games this year, you would say yes.
I would say no.
No?
No. I don't think there's
I was going to make it five.
Then it's over the 6.5.
No, he could say that he starts earlier than that.
No. Over six, the week six that you said starting.
Yeah, Dell said under, but maybe he also doesn't think he'll last. You did say under.
Oh, you don't think he'll...
You said under, which is why...
You think he'll get hurt?
I thought you said amount of games he would start.
No. Will he be starting by week five and a half?
No, he won't.
Okay.
I think that's
so
the number.
So you think Fitz is going to win?
Fitzpatrick's the unquestioned starter right now.
You think he'll win though?
I don't think the Dolphins
about 5 weeks in, if they're not winning,
I don't think the Dolphins are going to be bad enough where there's going to be this pull to play them. I have to look at the schedule now. They start on the road at the Pats, but that doesn't mean as much as it did before.
They're a favorite at the Panthers, aren't they?
The Pats. They play the Pats the year, and that doesn't mean as much as it has in the past. Certainly, they go to the Patriots, host the Bills. And then go to the Jags, host the Seahawks, the 49ers. So it's a relatively rough start, but I can see them winning going 2-3, which would mean Fitzpatrick's probably still playing in the week six. I don't think they're going to be awful. I think they'll be meh. A 2-3 start, I think, has Fitzpatrick still starting as long as he doesn't get hurt. So that's what I see. I think they can go on the road and beat the Pats and beat the Jags at home or on the road. I think that's their two wins.
9:30 ESPN 97.5. And how many more games will the Heat win in this series?
Well, as you'll hear it the next couple of days, they're the only team in the East to have a winning record against the Bucks.
They'll beat the Bucks.
I think
there's no reason they can't beat the Bucks.
Yeah, I told you before. Yeah. Amin Elassan said the best teams in the East don't fear the Bucks. And you kind of saw. Mm-hmm. And the Heat didn't even shoot the ball from three well, which is something they do.
And your best players shoot 62% from
the
free throw line.
And then there's always, you know what, the Bucks lose the first game of the series.
Yeah, they respond.
That's what they do.
At least against Orlando, they did, certainly. But I don't think Miami's the Magic. I think it'll be a knockdown dragout. I think this goes seven.
Yeah, could well go seven. 9:30 ESPN, 97.5, 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN, 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 934, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the number if you'd like to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, and we've been talking Rockets basketball. Astros are going to play tonight, despite the COVID with the A's. I have not seen a makeup date. Have you guys seen that? I haven't seen a makeup date for the game.
Not yet.
They need to do it September 14th. The A's are in Texas on the 13th. They can just fly down here in an hour. The Astros are in Los Angeles on the 13th playing the Dodgers. And then they come home for a homestand. They can play that game first and then the rest of the games, as opposed to going to Oakland and playing a doubleheader there, which is unfair. That would be eight games in Oakland while the Astros only play two here. And listen, they've already played three in Oakland and lost all three, and Oakland has played two here and lost both. I don't believe that they had a COVID. I don't think they had a positive test. I don't believe it. I think they made that crap up just not to play the game.
You think a team would
play
with COVID because of a three-game series?
It's possible.
Hey,
once you feel that momentum rolling out downhill on you, I can see that.
A staffer that was, I don't know, he's the assistant travel secretary. Hey, you just tested positive. Go home. What? Yeah, you just tested positive. Beat it. Get out of here.
You throw a scare into multiple teams because you don't want to take a beating on Sunday?
Yeah,
because
you don't want to take another beating. A-holes. I don't trust them.
You're a conspiracy. Conspiracy.
How did the A's win their 1989 World Series?
What, steroids?
Huh?
What? The earthquake? Steroids? What do you?
Steroids.
Oh, I thought you were going to point to the earthquake.
No, steroids. That's how they won. They're a bunch of cheaters. They've been cheaters forever.
Do you think they had something to do with the San Francisco quake?
No, they didn't have anything to do with the earthquake.
You sure?
maybe Jose Canseco hit his bat on the ground so hard that it caught, it could have created it.
What is he, Thor Ragnarok?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
he was trying to be.
What are the A's responsible for? An earthquake in 1989? Faking COVID test? What could they be behind, John? QAnon, John.
QAnon, John.
Listen. You don't think it's possible? Naive. Okay.
See?
Still live in that little world, in that little bubble you're in.
Look.
Okay.
Lance, the conversations you have during the break, and John will bring up a video he saw. You don't think he's a little QAnon, John?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's potentially can be persuaded.
Yeah, I believe his buddies sent him videos that may or may not have been doctored, and he's like, see, look at this.
Speaking of doctored, John, you need to see this. Frankie's working for Steve Scalise. The day she had yesterday.
Did she have to answer calls?
She answers the calls for the office.
Did the liberal left get after that phone line?
She said,
John, I don't want to do this anymore.
She worked from 9 till noon. She said, I had 200 calls.
And what did they consist of mostly?
Oh, you're the devil. You work for the devil. You are. Oh, my God. So apparently, 80 Barkin. 80 Barkin is...
You're the devil. You're the devil. Is this John Clay Wolf? 80, Mr. Wolf?
Yeah.
Did you start the car? Right? Yeah, my dad got over on you.
Yeah. So he apparently did an interview with Joe Biden.
Yeah, he asked Joe Biden questions.
And the Scalise people, I don't know who did it. And no, it wasn't Frankie Art who did this. Wasn't Frankie who edited it. They edited it up and they changed the question to Joe Biden. And there, in defense of Scalise, really? He goes, wait a minute. Whenever you do a newscast, you edit different.
You don't edit the question.
You don't, well,
he edited the voice
to change
of the guy.
The context.
Well, it wasn't even his voice. It's computerized. It's like,
exactly. So that's why they could get away with it.
Right.
It made it easier for them.
What are your thoughts on coronavirus? And do Americans have any ability to die more? What question is this?
So the question, the original question, but do we agree that we can direct some of the funding? The version Scalise tweeted edits in the words police to the end of the question. Words which Barkin says in a different context. So they did use the guy's words, but it was for a different question earlier. They just put police at the end of his actual question. And then, of course, Biden had an answer that was like, see, he wants to defund the police. But that's not the question he was answering.
Hmm.
So Scalise had to, you know, do his thing.
Well, he's walking it back a little bit.
And the bigger issue is like this: 80 Barkin has a disability. He has ALS, which is a disease that kind of destroys.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that guy. Yeah,
and he was like, "Wait a minute." He goes, "I may not have a voice, but I still." He was like, "Don't change."
Here's what he said. These are not my words. I've lost my ability to speak, but not my agency or my thoughts. You and your team have doctored my words for your own political gain. Please remove this video immediately. You owe the entire disability community an apology. Yeah.
That's oof.
Messed up, dude. Messed up. You don't change. And oh, by the way, now you've changed the words of someone who's disabled, who's got ALS. Oh. So anyway, today they said, you don't have to answer the phones today.
Take a day off.
I don't think we're going to answer the phones today.
Take a me day.
So don't, for those of you out there that want to call Steve, don't.
Don't, because it's Frankie on the other end, not Steve. Steve Scalise doesn't answer his own phones.
Mm-hmm.
There's some poor, unwitting, maybe not unwitting anymore, but some poor person who has to answer those phones and deal with you. It's not going to get to the congressman.
It's Frankie. Mm-hmm. She knows. She's like, oh, no. Not this again.
I didn't. But she said, I talked to her because she had called me. And I talked to her on the way home yesterday. She was like, this is the worst day I've ever had.
Hey, it's politics. It's part of the game, I think.
I would imagine politics these days especially could give you the worst days you've ever had fairly regularly. Like, well, I've had my worst day ever. It's kind of like lead changes in an NBA playoff game. Like, there's been 14 lead changes in the fourth quarter. Like, there's been 14 worst days ever so far since the pandemic. I'm sure people are like, well, you know what? I know last week was my fifth worst day ever. Was the fifth time I've said worst day ever, but this one's actually worse than last week.
That's it. Worse than that.
It's amazing. Since April, I've had more worst days ever than ever before. This is the worst
day. No, worst day. No, Frankie was like,
yeah, tell her to give it time.
Well, I've got a message that you guys. I mean, she sent me a message. Listen.
Oh, she let you hear it?
Oh, no. Some messages, not from yesterday, but from before. She's like, these people are, it is incredible what people will say. I'm a 22-year-old girl just out of college, just answering the phones. That's all I do. And the things that these people say, she recorded. Well, this guy left a message, and she sent it to us.
Was it the vilest, most guttural? It was that bad.
I was like, I never knew you could use words like this.
I would.
It is. She's like, and this is. And I've heard her. She puts it on speaker. She was home, you know, when she had the coronavirus, and she was answering the calls and. And she put it on speaker and she said, listen to this. Listen to this woman.
How about this one?
Screaming at her about her unemployment checks.
What? Oh, and she's going to have to deal with all kinds of stuff like that. You know,
and what is Scalise doing for me? And I don't, okay, I'm not getting my check.
Did she drop, I voted for him?
Yeah, or I didn't vote for him, but he's in there and he's the devil's, I mean.
Have Frankie say, well, if you would have voted for me, you got that unemployment check or whatever. You would have got your benefits. But yeah, we're keeping very close tabs.
We have a list
on who voted. We have a list,
and you weren't on the list of people who voted for Congressman Scalise. Sorry, no $1,200 for you.
A new member of Scalise's team said something that was inaccurate as a joke, and it's making its way through viral. She's gone viral. Oh. Her father is there looking through his social media and combing through his social media looking for things that they can post.
Oh. Yeah, initially it was like, what would John's Twitter do to JT if JT became a successful college quarterback? Now as Frankie works for the congressman, let's start combing through John's Twitter. Oh, Frankie, we're going to need you to disavow all knowledge of your father.
Oh, 944 ESPN 97.5 7738037776. If you want to get in here and talk about Frankie,
you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Sometimes you need a friend, not the ones that just show.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:47 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here to hang out with us. This came from, who was this? JP. I had a congressional internship. Can confirm only ultimate conspiracy kooks call their congressional rep and grandmas who forgot their email password. And I think he's right. The calls she says she gets is it's a good experience. That if you want to learn more about nut jobs, it's a good experience. It's a great experience for it.
One of your daughters is a psychologist,
and she has to work on Frankie after every session, every time she answers the phone.
So both your daughters are dealing with. I wouldn't want to call people in therapy nut jobs, but people who may have issues they need to work out.
Nut jobs.
You're saying it. And your other daughter, the non-trained professional, is dealing with the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure the trained professional would not like you saying nut jobs.
No, I don't think so.
So what do we think about the Astros after the trade deadline?
Well, so they did nothing. Unless, did anything roll in late? I saw nothing. So they did nothing. We haven't talked about this, but the Padres... I don't know that I've ever seen one team do more. It's almost like, were they not fielding a team? I thought their team was pretty good. How many people did the Padres add
yesterday? They picked up five or six, yeah. And, you know, not a bad haul. I mean, you know, they picked up, well, they picked up Castro before that. Clevenger is a huge deal. They picked up Castro before that, the day before, or 2 days before, whatever the case may be. They made, you know, Mitch Moreland. They made some nice moves.
I like what they did.
You know what, though? They never win. And they're finally in a position to...
They didn't give up a ton, by the way.
No. But and this was a year. What are you going to give up? There's nothing to give up. So, honestly, what... I admire them that they're... You know what? We're winning. Let's do something. The White Sox were surprising that they did nothing. The White Sox are a good baseball team right now. The White Sox got it going on. Who did they pick up? Did they pick up Cameron Maybin? Is that who they picked up? No, maybe the White Sox didn't do anything. But the Astros, this was about, they did about what I expected.
About what you expected? Zero?
Nothing. Yeah. I mean,
I'd rather they not be. I mean, honestly, don't be buyers. You're not going to win anything. Don't buy. Let's just see how it plays out. What are you going to do? Do your other moves, Brooks Raley type stuff. You know, nothing.
Brooks Raley's like over there. He's listening to the show right now. Going.
Sorry, Brooks. Enjoy your half season. Enjoy your third of a season. I mean. Brooks Raley, is this what you want?
No.
You don't want to give up anyone else. You don't have a minor league system anymore.
No, and you've lost how many? You lost for the season, probably Verlander. You've lost Osuna. You've lost Jordan. I mean, you really, what do you got? What are you going to do? You got to build towards, and next year is the go for it year because it's Greinke and Verlander's last year and possibly Correa's last year. We'll see what you do with Yuli. We'll see what you do with Brantley. We'll see what you do with Springer. We'll see. Reddick, I don't think, will be back.
Listen to what the Padres did. This is a team who said, we finally got a chance to go for it, and I agree with them. But rarely have you ever seen a team make this many moves. They acquired right-hand pitcher Trevor Rosenthal from the Royals. Okay, he's having a down year, but that's still a good arm, good name. They acquired center Austin Nola, Austin Adams, and Dan Altavilla from the Mariners for a slew of players. They acquired Jason Castro from the Angels. They acquired first baseman DH Mitch Moreland, as you mentioned, for minor league infielder Hudson Potts and minor league outfielder Jason Rosario. And then they grabbed Mike Clevenger, huge, huge deal. Greg Allen, and a player to be named later from the Indians, and they sent out players. You've added, in essence, I mean, Castro, Moreland, Clevenger, Rosenthal. That's a really big deal to add those guys to a team that already has talent. They're young. They have a fun time. I swear to you, this is so reminiscent of young Astros.
Mm-hmm.
It is so reminiscent of young Astros to me.
Well, look what they got with Machado and Tatis. They got the bases to start to do some nice things. They obviously need some arms and Clevenger.
But Clevenger's under contract through 2022. That's a great deal. It's 2 years beyond this year for the Padres. And then you can figure out if you want to pay him or let him go, and they'll probably let him go. But that your window of opportunity is now open. Through 2022 is what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's the top of the rotation guy for him right now, right?
Yep. He's 29 right now, which I guess that makes sense. And that's not old by pitching standards.
Hey, and they score. So I got buddies two guys who are in a league. I've never heard of this before. The first team out of the 30 teams, the first team to score 13 to score 1 through 13 in a game for the season. Oh. So you have to score one run game, two runs one game, three runs four,
all the way 13, through 13.
All the way through 13.
Is that going to happen in the
Padres
season?
Are the closest. They only need an 11. And my buddies got them
already.
So they were up 11. They were winning 11 to whatever the other day in the ninth inning. And he was like, "It's $10,000 he gets."
What?
Yeah, yeah. And he was like, "Oh my God, turn the game on. They got 11 in that." And we found a game and we're watching it. First guy gets on first. Second guy homers. 13. That's it. So he needs one game where they score 11 runs, but nobody the other team the next team that's closest is I forget what team it is, but they need 12 and 13.
God, that
so
sucks.
And that ain't easy to get, but they can hit, bruh. Hosmer, Tatis, Machado, Grisham, Myers, and now they add Moreland. That's a pretty good lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Nola. We'll see. I mean, that's a pretty good lineup. San Diego's, if they can get some young arms,
no,
that
I think it's the same thing as the Astros. They got a good young core. The Astros didn't have enough pitching, and they did something about it.
Mm-hmm.
They happened to get a couple, Cy Young caliber pitchers, and not everyone does that. And what do you get with that? Well, you get a World Series win with one. Not that Verlander was a dominant factor in that in the postseason. And then you get in, and then you're a few outs away from winning another World Series, which would have been disallowed by John Boy anyway. So it's
almost They're all.
It's almost better. They're
all gripping about. And you mentioned yesterday. Remember Dallas Keuchel won the Cy Young in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what Dallas Keuchel's doing this year? Take a guess.
I don't even know what Keuchel's
doing.
5-2
with a 2.70.
Ooh, but yeah.
For the White Sox, who are fighting for the division title.
If you had it to do all over again, I'm not saying Keuchel, but you would have hung on to Charlie Morton for a little bit more time.
Yeah, you would have. You would have given him a couple of years.
That's not even hindsight. That didn't feel good when it was happening. Not even just emotionally. Charlie had good stuff. Like, that just didn't make any sense not to jump back in on Charlie. Because you weren't you knew that Gerrit Cole might be leaving after a year. Like, it would have made more sense to redo Charlie Morton and extend that window a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
3-year deal? What did he get? Didn't he get a 3-year deal, or was it longer than that?
Who, Keuchel?
No, Charlie.
Oh, Charlie got 3 years.
Keuchel was – it was hard to pay Keuchel at that
15
time.
15 a year? 2 years, $30 million deal, I think.
It was hard to pay Keuchel.
Yeah.
Then I don't know.
Look up Charlie. I think he got a 2-year, $30 million deal.
And remember, Keuchel turned down an Astro offer. He screwed himself out of money. Remember, he thought he was going to be Mr. Big Time.
Yeah, no.
And then he ended up firing.
He wanted $100 million.
Yeah,
he wanted $100 million.
And then he ended up firing Boris.
Yep.
Boris is a good dude, man.
I
love Scott Boris. He's a great guy.
You were all about him.
Oh man, he's just so good for sports.
So the White Sox have a guy named Aaron Bummer.
Yeah.
Which would you rather have? An Aaron Bummer or what's the Astros?
A scrub.
A scrub. Would you rather have a scrub or a bummer coming in? Gotta go to the bullpen. Gotta go to the bullpen. Bummer.
A bummer or ace?
Bummer.
A bummer. Aaron Bummer.
We've got Bummer and Scrub up in the pen right now throwing with a one-run lead here in the World Series.
Would you rather bring in a Scrub or a Bummer?
Well, Bummer doesn't imply that he sucks at his job. It just means you don't want to be around him. A Scrub implies he stinks.
Yeah, but if you're going to the bullpen, Bummer.
Scrub is a guy who can't get no love from me.
Me.
Yeah.
Sitting on the passenger side.
Yeah.
And his best friend's ride. Trying to holler
at Scrub.
Yes. And then the appropriate response is to play the Chicken Head song. That was the song that came after. Like, WAP has a response from a guy.
The one I sent you?
I wasn't gonna.
You got it from me. The guy gets out of the car and his girlfriend says, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a
K-God.
But that's been done. Chicken Heads was the song that came after No Scrubs because, guys can't just take you making a popular song about them. They got to respond.
That's what that came in because of that?
Yes.
That's rude.
Well, don't call us scrubs then, apparently.
Well, then don't be a scrub. Why can't TLC say something about a scrub?
Because
you know what happened to Left Eye? Shout out to Left Eye. How about we just show some respect for Left Eye, and we don't do that?
At the time, she was still alive when Chicken Heads came out. I'll play it for you. You haven't heard it before?
Men can't just let women have a song, can they?
You haven't learned?
Oh, okay. You got a song. Watch this song.
It's from Project Pat.
You know why? It's because of Roxanne Shanté, what she did to Roxanne to UTFO. She decided to, oh, let me jump in here and make fun of these guys from UTFO. And it's like, okay, now it's on for life. Every time a girl makes a song that's a hit, we're going to come back with a song over the top. Although I got a funny feeling that those 250 million downloads of WAP on the video probably always going to have more hit than that one guy on TikTok.
Well, this was from Project Pat.
Oh, it's different then.
Yeah. Yep. And the opening lyrics are, walk, walk, he's clucking like a chicken.
You all lost me. At the chicken song.
Not as bad as much as I can play. I don't think there's a clean version out there.
It's rude.
That's it. 10 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Lance is done. Join me and Dell on the other side.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.